So the next 4 Sundays, this morning, December 3, I want to introduce this new series to you this morning. And there are 4 powerful names that we're going to talk about throughout this series. So Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And I hope to bring you a whole new understanding of what those names mean to us in our day. What does that look like for you and I as we live life? And I'm going to use some stuff out of Scripture today. From Isaiah 9, and then also from Luke chapter 8 this morning, and we'll get into that in just a little bit. But here's kind of the rundown of what we're going to be looking at here all the way up to Christmas Eve Day, December 24. And so notice there's 2 December 24s on there, because the morning service will be Prince of Peace, but the evening service, Christmas Eve service, will be about the candlelight service, by the way, the gifts of Christmas, which we talk about in the Advent series. Hope, love, joy, and peace. And we're going to dissect those as well and what that actually means for us as believers in Christ. But for today, let's get into the Word of God. And this is our first word, our Wonderful Counselor. So turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah 9 will be our base verse that we're going to focus on. And this is about 700 years before the birth of Christ. And so that this came out, and I'll explain more later on that. And then we're going to look at the book of Luke. And I'm going to give you some examples of what was it like when Jesus was upon this earth, when God said, this is the Wonderful Counselor that's coming. And we're going to look at stories of what Jesus did when he was here, what that word actually means. So turn to the word of the Lord, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7 is where we'll start. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. So I want to just, let me stop there for a moment, because the Assyrians have attacked the area of Galilee. The Israelites are there, and they are under oppression. There's war in the land, and things are not going well. It would be similar to today if we were to get attacked by a foreign nation, and we'd be in the midst of war and turmoil, and we're trying to survive as God's people in the midst of all that. So that's the setting of what's going on here. And this is what God tells them through Isaiah. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You've enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the days of the Midian's defeat, you shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness for that time, on, and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And of course, you know, that speaks of the coming of Jesus Christ 700 years before he would actually come. Now turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 8. This is a little bit of a longer read here. So follow along as I read to you Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. The end of the chapter. There are 3 stories that I'm going to pull out of here this morning. And so as we go through them, I'm going to encourage you to keep Luke 8 open, as we're going to reference some verses in here this morning. So this is Jesus, and he's in the boat, and he's in Galilee, and of course he's going to cross the Sea of Galilee to the other side, and it is a pagan nation. There's not a lot of faith there at all, and so this is what he comes across. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? God, I beg you, don't torture me." But Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though He was chained hand and foot and kept under guard. He had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank and into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and he left. Now that's a story in itself, isn't it? That they asked him to leave. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him. But Jesus sent him away saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter's dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She's not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. The reading of the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray for a blessing on this message today, that these words are your words and not mine. I pray you fill me with your spirit today to lead your people. Lord, I pray too for those that have gathered here that are in your house this morning, those that are online, Lord, that you fill them with your spirit today, that you teach them the things that you want them to know in their Christian walk. May you speak to their hearts today, to their minds, and to their souls. In Jesus, I pray these things. Amen. Now, every year about this time, I start getting a little excited to experience these things again. How many of you are excited in July for Christmas? Anybody get the feeling of, how many of you have heard a Christmas song in the middle of summertime? It doesn't quite click right, does it? But every year we come into Advent and we come into the Christmas season, and oh, we're ready to sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing again, aren't we? But in the middle of July or August, nope, we kind of want to stay away from that. So we're entering this time of the year of some anticipation, things we know, things we're familiar with. Christmas lights, Christmas music, eggnog. Anybody in here like eggnog? Right? I love eggnog. A little nutmeg on top. It's great. Baked goods, gifts, all those things start to happen. You gather with family and friends, and maybe you go out and you see the Christmas lights, and you do all these things. But above all, what I really love about this time of the year for me, and I think the same is true for you, is that I want to feel just a little bit closer to Jesus. I want to know, what more of this story can I learn about his coming, and what does that mean for my life? That's really what I want to dig into and I want to know more about in this time of the year. And I hope that you feel the same way. And so during this series, we're going to draw closer to Jesus and some remarkable things about who he is and what he's doing in the world that you and I live in today. So I hope and pray that you experience this in a new way. So we get into this story this morning. Isaiah, a prophet. And God, he could not wait to tell the people of who is coming in Isaiah 9 verse 6. I think he couldn't wait because how he wanted to tell people how wonderful his son was going to be. The things that he would do upon this earth and the things that would go on from that day forward after his arrival. So God chose a prophet. And he said, Isaiah, write this down and tell the people about it. Now remember what I told you about what's going on in the land of Judea and around Galilee and all those types of things. God's people are under oppression. The Assyrians have attacked. They've overcome the land. And here's, he said, Isaiah, you tell these people who are living in darkness, these people that are suffering, that are trying to survive in their life. You tell them this, that somebody's coming. And here's how I want you to describe it to them. He's going to be a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace to all. Amen to that, right? And why? Because so many people needed hope. So many people were destitute and at their wits' end, and they're like, you know, I can't live this life anymore. They needed something different. They needed encouragement for what they were facing. And so God began to announce the news about his son some 700 years before he arrived, that this was coming. This day would happen. People were felt that were left in darkness. They're looking at this description of God. And you know what they really wanted? Whoa, this can help me, Isaiah. This is who's coming? They had no idea when this was going to come, but they held on to that hope, just like you and I hold on to the hope today of the return of Christ and his second coming. And he'll be called Wonderful Counselor. So the next few minutes, I want to take you through this name this morning. I want to break this down. I want to give you a deep understanding of what does God mean when he says Wonderful Counselor to you and I. And we're going to look at a little bit of Hebrew this morning and dissect that and study that this morning. So here we go. Here's our Hebrew lesson that will bring depth to what I'm trying to preach to you this morning. Wonderful Counselor is Pele Yohetz. Pele means wonderful, but it goes beyond that. And this is what I want you to understand this morning. It's used dozens of times in the Old Testament, and it tends to mean wonderful in the sense that Pele means a cut above, out of the ordinary, beyond what you would expect, is what it means when it comes to the word wonderful. You think about it just for a moment. There's places in Scripture that I can bring to you this morning, and I'll share a couple of those things. But it describes who this God will be, who Jesus will be. Job used it when he said this about God in Job 9, verse 10. God performs wonders that cannot be fathomed. Miracles that cannot be counted, wonders, meaning that God goes up and beyond anything that you and I can understand, that we don't realize or get. David says this about God, you are great and do marvelous deeds, marvelous, Pele, a cut above, more than you could expect. You alone are God, is what David says about this Hebrew word, and that word marvelous is Pele. So now you convert it with Yohetz, meaning counselor. Now, in our day, when we go to a counselor, it is a different definition that would have been in the day that Isaiah would have used this word. Today you think of a counselor, you go to, let's just use me for example, you go to your pastor or you go to Anita and you go for counseling and you go to the office and you sit and you talk about life. what are you struggling with? And you talk about, what do I need to do? And you help each other figure out the situation to move forward in life. But here, this term, counselor, means like wise advice. What else can I, let me explain it to you this way. Look at my, I got to look at my notes here for just a moment. Yohets, to give advice or to guide. And I want you to understand this. This term was used to guide kings, leaders of armies and military leaders to help strategize for war and how to win. And maybe it would be a business person who needed advice how to start a new business and what it was going to take and good ideas and bad ideas. And that's how the word counselor was used in Isaiah's day. Way different than our day today. So with that in mind now, take those things that you've learned, and let me give you another story out of Luke 19. How many of you know the story of Zacchaeus? Everybody learned it in Sunday school, right? And who's coming to see him that day? Jesus is, yeah. And what is Jesus? You know, Zacchaeus is a short little guy. I imagine he's probably about my height. He's in the crowd. He can't see a whole lot. And what does he do? Yeah, he climbs a sycamore tree because he wants to see Christ. And Christ speaks to him. Wonderful counselor, a cut above. And he says to Zacchaeus, come down, Zacchaeus, because I'm going to your house today. Who was Zacchaeus? He was a tax collector, a vicious one. He was wealthy. People didn't like him. And Jesus says, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to eat with you. And he changed Zacchaeus' whole life. Do you see the definition of wonderful? Pele Yohits, wonderful counselor, a cut above. If you read the story in Luke 19, you realize that Zacchaeus says, you know what? I'm going to give half of everything I got away to the poor. I'm going to change the way I live because he had salvation through Jesus. He got it. He understood it. Now, turn with me to Luke chapter 8. If you have your Bible, if you have your own Bible in here, I should have told you this morning, bring your highlighter, bring your pencils, scratch it up right in it, because I'm going to show you some things in here that you've probably never understood before. You've read it 100 times, but I want to teach you what the wonderful counselor can do, because here is his example to you and I. And so many of us cut Jesus short in our lives, I feel, of this wonderful counselor in our lives. This is who you have access to. So we're a few years into Jesus' ministry. Luke describes this run of wonderful counseling that Jesus dispensed to people one circumstance after another in Luke 8, which I read to you. But we're going to look at this kind of verse by verse. We're going to skip around a little bit, but you'll get the gist of it. But have it in front of you. So Jesus, he lands on the shore, and he sees this demon-possessed man in Luke chapter 8. And he comes on shore. He's not intimidated by this guy. He's not scared of this guy. I can imagine he looks like this hairy monster. He's got chains hanging off. He's spewing things. He knows exactly who he is because he's filled with demons. He knows exactly who Christ is, because even Satan knows who God is, right? And he gets onto the shore. And here's how this story goes. He realizes that what has happened to him. And the Bible says, the man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him. After Jesus said, demons, you come out of there. And they begged him, no, don't just throw us in the abyss, right? Hell. We'll go into those pigs. And then, of course, those pigs went off the cliff and they still ended up in the abyss, those demons. But this man was healed by Christ. And this man, he realizes, Jesus, you've healed me. He's sitting there normal, and he's dressed in the proper clothes, and people are seeing him. He's speaking normally. And he realizes what Christ has done. The wonderful counselor has drastically changed his life. And this is what the demon-possessed man asked him. He begs Jesus, may I go with you? Now, most teachers We have some teachers in our congregation this morning. If you have a student that wants to learn more, you'd say, come with. Yes, I'll teach you. I'll instruct you of how to live life and what this should look like. But Jesus says, no. You go home. And if I could put an exclamation mark around that little word right there, it's, listen closely, you go home. Why do you think that was so important for him? Because he probably hadn't been home in years. He mentally has been messed up, and he doesn't even know who his family probably is anymore. And Jesus says, you go home. Your family needs you. You got something to share with your family. Don't waste your time following me. You've been healed. Go tell them about me, the wonderful counselor, a cut above, more than he ever expected in his life. Go lighten your family's load. Is what he says. Share the good news with them. That's another type of counseling, isn't it? Way different than what we would have expected. Better than he could have ever expected in his life. That's the cut above Pele that I'm talking about. That Jesus brought. That God talked about through Isaiah, 700 years before he came. This is who's coming. Second story, Luke 8. I got to make sure that I got my, here we go. I'm behind a little bit, ain't I? Here, let's get to the right one. Sometimes I just get too excited and too wound up when I'm preaching up here. Second story, Luke 8. Keep your Bible open. These two commingle now. The second and third kind of run together. And you get this gist of who this counselor is. So we start Luke 8, verse 41. So if you're there with me, follow along. I'm going to read you this verse, and then we're going to dissect a little bit more about who this guy is. Then a man named Jairus. Now get who he is. A ruler of the synagogue. He came and he fell at Jesus' feet, and he pled with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl about 12, was dying. Now, push pause just for a moment with me on that verse. This is a synagogue ruler. He had probably had high status in his community. He was well respected. He's working in the church, right? The Jews, the synagogue. He would have known his Old Testament. He has nothing left. He doesn't know what to do. He's probably desperate. He probably had high status in his community. People looked up to him for help, probably. And where does he go? To Jesus. That's where he goes. He calls on the wonderful counselor. And Jesus says, I'll come, Jairus. I'll come to your house. And how excited he must have been, because he's holding out hope. He's got to get there to his daughter's house because, you know, it's not going to be very long. She's near death, Jesus. We got to go. Okay, we'll go. We'll get started in this process. Now, remember, what's going on around him? Who's at the shoreline when he gets there at the boat? Just a few people? A crowd of people. In fact, we get to verse, 42. And Jesus is on his way, and the crowds almost crushed him. How many of you been to a concert up at Sanford or the Pentagon in Sioux Falls? Anybody been to up there, and there's, I don't know how many people in there. It was packed out concert, and you try to get out of there and get to your car in the parking lot, and you try to get down the escalator, right? It goes so smooth and so quick all the time. You're just out of there like butter, right? And it tests your patience to no end because you're trying to funnel all these people. Jesus, he countered the same thing. Jairus is walking with Jesus, and Jesus is getting shoved around. He's trying to get through the crowd. He's trying to get to the escalator to get down out of the synagogue, maybe, and he's trying to get to where he needs to be, to Jairus' house. And then along comes this woman. The third story. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. Verse 43. Why do you think she was there? 12 years. Why do you think she was there? Because she knew. She knew who the wonderful counselor was. Who's the wonderful counselor I've been telling you about? Who is he? He's a cut above. And he brings healing to this woman. Now hold on just for a minute. Who's by his side thinking, Jesus, we got to get to my house? Jairus, right? Jairus is probably going out of his mind. Jesus, we got to go. We don't have time to sit here and talk. And then keep with me in the story. Verse 44, she came up behind him. She touched him, his cloak. He's immediately healed. And she understands what just happened. Now, we know that's a touch above. But Jesus, not being hurried, he stops. Verse 45, who touched me? Somebody was just healed. Who touched me? Turned around, sees this woman at his feet, begging, thankful, probably weeping. Lord, I've been healed. She knew it. It happened instantly right there. Miracle happened. By the way, we're talking about three miracles here that I ain't even brought up yet. In all these stories, miracles are going on. And then he stops again. So now I'm to finish up at verse 47. And then he says this in verse 48. They have this conversation. He's worried about her. Wants to make sure she's okay. And she says this. Now, we heard this verse in another way with the lepers here just a couple weeks ago. Now, listen closely. You'll catch it. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Remember the lepers? 9 left. 1 came back, gave gratitude, said he was thankful. And he said to him, your faith has healed you. What did I tell you that meant here a couple weeks ago with the leper? That he found what through Jesus Christ? Salvation. This woman who is bleeding and broken, she found salvation. Not only did he heal her physically, but he healed her spiritually. More than she ever expected. A cut above. The wonderful counselor changed her life. Got it. So what's Jesus up to here? He's not just helping people. He's helping them at the cut above level in their lives. Miracle after miracle after miracle takes place. Do you see who he is? Let's go back to Jairus for a moment. I'm sure Jairus is out of his mind because they're hanging out in the street right now and he's having a conversation with this woman. Your faith has healed you. And Jairus is probably thinking, man, we got to get to my house. My daughter, she might not even be there when we get there, Jesus. And of course, Luke 8, verse 49, while Jesus is still speaking to the woman, someone came from the house of Jairus to the synagogue ruler. Your daughter's dead. Don't bother Jesus anymore. It's over. You ever lost all hope in your life? Jairus lost all hope. His daughter's gone. I want you to understand in this story who the wonderful counselor is. Because then he says to Jairus, and I think I got it on the screen. Is it the next one? Yeah, here we go. Don't be afraid. when you've lost all hope, when you think that this is the end, Jesus says, don't be afraid. Believe. Believe in who? The wonderful counselor, Jesus Christ. And she will be healed. Now, does that always happen upon earth that God decides to heal here in miraculous ways? Oh, it can. We've seen it happen. But it also might be spiritual healing, and he calls that person to heaven. Just believe. Now, if this is a normal counselor, this is what he would say when he heard these things. I am so sorry that I didn't get there quick enough. I wish I could have done something different, that I could have been to your house quicker. I wish that lady that was suffering for 12 years, and maybe I wish she wasn't there today, that I could have got to your house quicker. See, that's what a normal counselor would have said. But that's not what happens, because you know the rest of the story, don't you? Don't be afraid. Just believe. That's the cut above. Anybody notice a sign hanging here this morning? Wonderful counselor. Pele Yohetz. A cut above with advice and direction and leading through his word, through his spirit for you and I today that nobody else can give you. So, we're getting ready to celebrate, right? Christmas is coming. We look forward to the birth of Jesus Christ. This is what we're about. Wonderful counselor here today. So there's two things that I want to send you home, and I think I got them up here on the screen. This is how I want you to look at this today, this word that you've learned of wonderful counselor. Here's the first thing. Every time you see a manger, you'll think not just about a baby that's in that manger and the hope that we have in that, which is great. But you're going to think about growing up to be a wonderful counselor and the miracles that he's done and continues to do. Second thing I want to send you out here with this morning is every day from now until Christmas, and by the way, it takes, 20-some days to create a habit? So it'll go beyond that, all right? And here's what I want you to do. From now until Christmas, every day that you'll seek out the counsel of Jesus Christ in your life. You will pray and you will be in Scripture every day and let him speak to you as the wonderful counselor. If you need some help with that, let me know. I'd be glad to help you. Be excited to do that. Every morning you get up, every time you face a decision or a challenge, go to the wonderful counselor. Throughout your day, Jesus, counsel me on this. I'm not sure what to do with this situation. Lord, I need your help. I don't understand this. What decision do I make? Go to the counselor. Let him guide. Let him direct. But you got to be praying. You got to be in his word so it can speak to you in your life. Every day. So if I ask you next week, how many of you been to the counselor, right? I won't ask you to raise your hand. But I'm going to bring that question to you. I'm going to ask, how are you doing? Have you sought him? Because there's a lot of things that are going on in this life right now, right? There's a lot of things going on in our church family right now. Hard, difficult things that families are dealing with. The storms have come. The storms are here. And they'll continue to come. But we have one that's bigger than the storm. Way bigger. That's the hope. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your lesson today. Lord, your work in Luke 8 is just amazingly remarkable. When we see it, when we read it, when it comes to life. May you speak to us today in a fresh way. May you just revive our hearts for this Advent season. Lord, may you inspire us through your Spirit that we want to seek you. Give us a hunger to know you more and to just, Lord, to seek you for the things, the wonderful counsel that you are. May you guide our lives and may you watch over us. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.